last of the baby boomers turned 50 this year, and according to the website transgender.org, one in three Americans is now 50 or older, including me, but don't tell anybody. By 2030, one of every five people in the U.S. will be 65 plus. And these are people not content to sit in a rocker on the front porch, let me tell you. They want to live independently for as long as possible, experience and learn new things, and have communities that can help them with those goals. Here today to talk about what elders today look for from life and how to get it are Beth Baker. She's author of With a Little Help from Our Friends, Creating Community as We Grow Older. She's in town as part of the Pioneer Network's 2014 conference, where she will be guiding a discussion on creating our own communities as we age. Beth, nice to have you. Welcome to
Thanks
Up
a
to
lot.
Date. Yeah. Also here is Jay Upright. He's co-chair of the SPARC Marketing Committee. SPARC stands for Senior Peers Actively Renewing Knowledge, and it's housed here at UMKC. Jay, nice to have you too. Welcome.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Well, Beth, let me start with you. Today, many elders want to age in place, and that means what exactly?
Well, I actually prefer saying age in community because aging in place is only as good as the place we're aging in. And often in the past, that has meant for older people that they're aging lonely and isolated. So what I've identified is a new trend where grassroots people are being more intentional and proactive about creating community as they age, whether it's their neighbors, whether it's best friends moving in together. There's a lot of models in my book.
I was going to say there are a lot of very interesting models, models that maybe people wouldn't normally think about.
For example, senior artist colonies in Los Angeles, very affordable, created by a visionary guy. So the community's filled with studios and theater and all sorts of wonderful outlets that the people who live there can pursue their creativity. There's a place in Florida for retired union postal workers. There's cooperatives of trailer homes, cooperatives of high-rise apartments in New York City, co-housing, which I can explain what that is.
But and you can only imagine that these communities will only grow stronger as the baby boomers age and grow into their 65 and older sort of status here.
I think that's true because really, although we all think of the baby boomers as being the change leaders, a lot of these communities were actually started by people a little bit older than we baby boomers. I'm 62, but I think we will really seize hold of it and create things that none of us have even thought of yet.
So you're talking about all these different communities that are out there, Beth, and I'm wondering, what's the common denominator?
The common denominator is that it allows people to have two fundamental, foundational parts of their lives. One is to maintain independence and autonomy. The other is to live in a strong community with social connections. And I believe we need both those things to be in balance, to be healthy and have a good old age.
The social connections are important. And I'm thinking about my dad up in Minnesota who lives alone now and who's very much an introvert, but is very aware of the fact that he's got to reach out occasionally to sort of keep things happening for himself. These connections are so important. Why?
Well, I was surprised to look at the literature recently to see just how important. Loneliness is literally deadly. They're doing research that shows you have a 10-year mortality risk. In other words, you might die 10 years sooner because what loneliness does to stress hormones, blood pressure, inflammation, all sorts of things. On the other hand, social connection confers all kinds of great benefits on our health and well-being. They say it's much stronger than anybody ever realized, as strong as like not smoking or exercising. It's very powerful.
There was a time, as you know, when traditionally one would look to one's kids, you know, for assistance in living, either moving in with them or, you know, living close to where they live. Does that still happen all that much nowadays, or are we in a different place as a society?
I think it does still happen, and I think that the people I interviewed who are living together as families, one thing that they found that's really important is to be able to do it while maintaining privacy and boundaries. So people are looking at reconstructing their homes or adapting their homes, I should say, to allow not only the traditional in-law apartment, but maybe a little place in the backyard, a separate little house, duplexes, all kinds of creative ways to adapt our homes to include family. But, of course, many families are scattered around the country and can't do that.
A lot of that going on these days. I think mine's one of them, yeah. Well, Jay Upright, let me get you into our conversation here. Lifelong learning seems very important to a whole lot of people as they age, but I imagine not every retired person has the desire or the means to go back to school. So what does the SPARK program offer exactly?
Well, spinning off of Beth's ideas, what we offer is the programming part of that living together and living separately, but living, trying to live independently. So we offer special courses for people who are intellectually interested in more content that they had wanted to learn before, but now have the chance to learn that so they can examine some content and subjects in depth. We also have a lot of social programs such as book clubs, a leading out group, film programs that are offered so that people have a chance to socialize, have intellectual activities, at the same time make connections with each other that are long-lasting.
I was going to say, you're doing what exactly Beth was talking about, this importance of providing a forum for folks so that they can reach out and make these connections that are so important.
It's exactly right. And we offer courses for like 6 weeks at a time so that you can come and take a course and then have some free time and then again in another quarter take another course. And so we have a variety of courses ranging from history to religion to music to art. So people have a variety of interests that they can explore as they want to go through this process.
And folks might be wondering, Jay, how expensive are these courses?
We have a membership fee of $40, and each of our classes then are $30 apiece. So it's relatively recent and less expensive than it would be if you're taking a full university course.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's do this. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll continue our conversation about older folks and how they can make these connections and develop the kinds of lives they want to have. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. Well, for this segment of our show today, we're talking about the baby boomers going into their 60s here and the kinds of lives they want to live. We're visiting with Beth Baker, author of With a Little Help from Our Friends, Creating Community as We Grow Older, and Jay Upright, who's co-chair of the SPARK Marketing Committee. SPARK stands for Senior Peers Actively Renewing Knowledge, and it's housed here at UMKC. We're wondering, why don't we get our listeners involved here, what's your biggest concern about life as a senior? What worries you the most? 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Again, 816-235-2888. Jay, we've had some questions about some of the courses that your SPARK program offers. I'm sure I'm too young to qualify yet, but what's the minimum age to take one of these classes?
Our membership is 50 and older, but we would be willing to accept anybody who wants to come in and be part of our group because we're all going to be in that age before long. So anyone is really welcome, but our membership really starts at 50.
And do you get many folks who are in their 50s, or are they mostly 60s and 70s?
We have mostly 60s and 70s, but we have some people who have retired early or they're semi-retired, and so we welcome them to join because they bring new energy, new perspective, different life experiences that we think are very important to our memberships because we need to share those.
You know, what are some of the courses that are offered and what are the most popular classes that seem to catch people's attention, Jay?
Well, we have a variety of courses. We have one that's very popular. It's called Western Civilization. And so we've been following Western Civilization for the last 4 years. From about the 1500s, now we're into World War I, which is very timely because this summer, this fall, we'll be looking at World War I for a six-week session. So that's very popular. Other very popular ones are our book clubs because we have three of those and they use for current topics or classics. And so these are people who like to read, and they meet once a month to enjoy those.
And do people actually read the books?
They actually read the books, and they actually discuss them.
There you
because
go.
Because they want to be intellectually active.
A lot of that doesn't happen in book clubs these days, I've noticed, yeah.
Now, the other part is we have a session with the Nelson Art Gallery. And so every 6 weeks we have a docent who leads us through special themes for our members, and then they afterwards they have lunch with each other and discuss what they've been able to see for that period of time.
Well, that
so that's very
good.
Popular too.
Yeah. Beth, have you seen examples like Spark and other communities that you've taken a look at?
Yes. As a matter of fact, there's one near me and around the country called Olli, O-L-L-I. A friend of mine who's 80 is one of their faculty, and she describes it as old people teaching old people. But it's a very popular program. And these some of the models I write about, like The Village, which is a Neighbors Helping Neighbors model that's very popular, they often hold classes and book clubs for their members.
Mm-hmm. So all kinds of things going on out there.
All kinds of things. People are really trying to change the culture of aging to not be viewed as such a time of just decline and on the downward slide, but a time when we can still grow and learn and contribute.
What do we know about the importance of staying active versus in terms of that as a means to warding off decline in our senior citizens?
Well, there's some research that suggests the more active we are mentally as well as physically, it may help delay some cognitive loss. It's not foolproof, but it certainly helps. And there's some suggestion that what's good for our hearts is good for our brains. Mm-hmm. So good diet, exercise, and mental stimulation is good for our whole well-being.
Well, Jay, Spark conducted an informal survey of its members a couple of years ago. I have to tell you, what caught my eye was this, that 50% of respondents were over 70 years of age. 31% had been with Spark between 6 and 10 years already. 25% had been with the organization for more than 10 years. I'm wondering, what does that say about the desire that folks have to keep learning?
Well, I think that says that our membership is very interested in doing it, and a good part of our membership, as you've indicated, are still with us because they've been active in learning. They like the social networking. They've made friendships. They come to us because they've had a loss in their family or they've just moved to Kansas City, and so they see this as a way to get connected back into a lifestyle that they used to have. And all of this means a lot to them, and because of that, they stay with us, and then they give us ideas for new programs. So as we survey them, they say, well, we'd like to do this. And so now we have a course in religion about who really made the Bible.
Yeah.
And that's because of people's interest. And so we maintain their interest by continuing to survey them and ask them what they want.
You know, Beth, we're sitting here in Kansas City, obviously, one of this country's larger cities. I'm wondering about folks who don't live in a larger city and don't have access to programs, you know, like Spark and like the other programs we're talking about today. I mean, how much of this is a benefit of being in a big city and how bereft of these opportunities are folks who live out in the countryside?
Well, one model I've found that is growing in rural America are these cooperatives of manufactured housing. And manufactured housing, which also are mobile parks, mobile homes, or trailer parks, that's a big source of affordable housing in rural areas. Well, some of these are forming co-ops, and they own the place together. And through the act of buying the land and forming the cooperative, they're growing closer. They are forming supportive social networks through this. There's also some senior housing cooperatives in rural areas. But I think a lot of the rural communities have these natural social social networks, churches, or a lot. I know I have cousins on the farm in Ohio, and they're the most active people I know in their communities.
That's interesting. Again, the question on the table for our listeners today, what are your biggest concerns about life as a senior? 816-235-2888 is our phone number here to join our conversation today. We want to get a few phone calls in here. I want to bring Susan Montenegro into our conversation. She's the Assistant City Manager and Community Development Director for the city of Owosso, Michigan. She joins us by telephone from her office. And Sue, welcome to Up to Date. So nice to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Give us an idea of where Owosso is located and how many people live there.
Owosso is located kind of in the middle of Michigan. We're located between the city capital or the state capital, Lansing, and between Flint, just off I-69. And there are approximately 15,000 people that live here in Owosso.
So it's a fairly small town.
Correct.
I'm wondering about the opportunity for your seniors in Owosso there to take part in programs like we're talking about here this morning, like Spark for Continuing Education and other programs. How many opportunities are there for seniors in Owosso?
Well, we really don't have, large opportunities for programs such as Spark. We do have something that we enjoy quite a bit here. It's called SATA, which is our Shiawassee Area Transportation Agency.
I was going to go there, yeah.
You were going to go there.
Yeah.
And it's a busing program that seniors can ride on free from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. to take them anywhere in the county here in Shiawassee. Others can ride on it for $1.50 one-way trip. But this is open Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. They can go to church, to bingo, to the doctor's office, to the store, keep them in contact with friends if they want to be dropped off at a friend's home. It's just a great way for us to be able to provide transportation to those that are not able to get around otherwise.
And it's free?
Correct, for seniors, yes, 60 and over.
How do you afford that in a small community like yours?
Well, it's something that is kind of distributed throughout several cities and townships here in Shiawassee County. Owosso participates in that, as do the cities of Vernon and Durand and Perry and Corunna, and then Bennington Township, Caledonia Township, and Owosso Township also participate in that. We levy taxes to help support that, and the cities put that money back into the SATA Transportation Agency.
Are these regular buses running, regular routes, or is this more of a transportation by appointment kind of service?
It's kind of a transportation by appointment service. You call in, and some people will call a week in advance to let the drivers know that they're going somewhere. They have 15 buses that go around, and they're designed for ease of being able to get onto the buses. They have wide open stairways, you just set up the appointment that you'd like to go. Hopefully, if someone calls, during a daytime and needs to go somewhere, the drivers do try to meet those needs as much as they're able. There's no defined routes. That's just kind of an as-needed basis.
And how well has all this gone over with the older residents in the county?
They enjoy it quite a bit. They use these services a lot to take them to the stores or to pick them up from doctor's appointments if someone isn't able to go with them. I see on my route home every day from work a lady that is wheelchair bound, and she's an older lady that is being dropped off from probably an older respite area for her to go to, or a program that she participates in. But she's dropped off every day. So it's something that people do use quite frequently here.
Hmm. Jay, I'm wondering, does Kansas City have something like this? Are you familiar with anything
like that? I'm not familiar with what's going on here. We do some transportation ourselves when we take people on bus routes and things, but that's more just because of our programming activities.
Beth, from a national perspective, how important is the kind of program that Sue is talking about here? What's your take on this?
You can't overstate how important this transportation piece is, and I really salute you for what you are doing in Michigan. We have some things like that in my area, but they're volunteer-dependent.
Near Washington, D.C. is where you live, yeah.
And yours sounds much more reliable. But I've been told by a social worker, for example, who works with older people, that she sees it as a bigger stumbling block to older people staying connected to their communities. By that, I mean the lack of transportation isolates people more than dementia. I mean, it's such a huge problem in our car-dependent society.
Mm-hmm. Sue, I gather you would second that notion.
Oh, yes, very much, very much.
You know, one thing Owosso is aware of in its city planning are the elders who live there. What's needed most for them, Sue, as you survey the range of needs for older folks?
Well, we notice that there are senior housing complexes that are kind of on the outskirts of town, but we've noticed that in our downtown core, we're missing that element. So that is something that we are addressing in future planning. We currently have a planned unit of development that we are working in conjunction with the state to try and develop, turning an old school building and adding on to that to develop senior housing here in the downtown core, which would allow seniors to have access to the downtown shopping area, to restaurants that are close by, that they would be able to walk those distances. And, you know, it encourages them to be physically active as they're able to, but it also allows them to participate in things that are going on in the downtown area, which is, definitely a win for everyone involved.
I was going to say, if you had that concentration of residents in one area, your ability to offer services, I imagine, goes up pretty sharply, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And, having the senior housing complexes around the outer skirts of the town is nice, in one sense. We do provide that housing element, but for them to participate in anything that's going on in the downtown area, they need to be brought in, whether they have family members, if they drive themselves, or if they take the transportation that is available to them. It still requires them to make that effort. If we had something that was available to them here in the downtown area for living, that would open that up so much more to their ability to be able to participate in events that happen here in the downtown area.
We're talking about making life worth living in more dramatic ways for our senior citizens this morning. The question on the table for our listeners, what's your biggest concern about life as a senior? What do you worry about most? 816-235-2888 or tweet us at KCUR up to date. Let's go to some calls here. And Judy from the Plaza area, good morning.
Hi, I am an instructor at Spark. I'm a participant. I spent many years teaching at Johnson County Community College and also have taught everything from 5-year-olds to 50-year-olds. And I just wanted to say that the senior population of Spark and in Kansas City is my very favorite group to teach. They have the time and the interest and the curiosity and just scads of experiences to share. I'm in the humanities part. We do literature, short stories, novels, some film. And I just think it's a wonderful opportunity for people. It becomes a social opportunity because you talk and you have lunch before or after. So something like Spark works real well for the senior community.
So you're saying, Judy, that the seniors actually do their homework, it sounds like.
Oh, absolutely. They, as a teacher, they're much, much, much more demanding than any younger person I ever taught. They want to know the answers, and they have lots to bring to the table.
Judy, what do you think that the biggest concerns about life as a senior is for a lot of the folks that you teach these days? What's your sense?
I think they really are looking for community and companionship. Many are alone, have lost maybe a loved one, are in a home or apartment by themselves, and they're looking for a place to go and things to do and some mental stimulation.
That's interesting. Judy, I'm glad you called. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Sue, what about safety? I'm talking to Sue Montenegro. She's assistant city manager for Owosso, Michigan. We're talking about downtown living. I'm wondering about safety. I'm sure that seniors want to feel secure as they go about their day in the neighborhood, and whether it be in the downtown or out in the fringes of the city. What do you hear about safety?
Here in Owosso, safety really is not that large of an issue as far as concern over that. We do try to maintain our roadways and our sidewalks as much as we possibly can, ensuring that people that traverse them feel safe upon them. Being a smaller city, I think we don't have as much of a crime rate issue as may be felt in other larger urban settings. But that being said, I do understand that everyone, including elders, would like to feel safe no matter where they're at. So whenever there are concerns that are brought up, we do address those immediately.
Yeah. Jay Upright, I'm wondering about safety with the Spark program at UMKC, because I know members have to walk from their cars into the buildings. The UMKC lot requires either a permit or parking at a meter, which means some folks have to cross cruise or park a block or two away. How great a concern is safety among the peers that you're working with?
I think they were a little bit concerned when we were moving back to Troost, but at the same time, they've adjusted. They've been able to live with the parking that we have. We feel very secure about the police and law enforcement that's here to help us. And so I think they've made as best adjustment as they can, and they're still coming. So I think that's the most important answer I can give you.
So Spark classes are held on the UMKC campus by and large?
They're held in this building, actually.
In this building right
so
here.
So we're just down the hall from you.
Oh, okay. I'm glad to know that. Yeah. Okay. Welcome. Nice to meet you, neighbor. Yeah. Back to some phone calls at 816-235-2888. Carrie from Independence, good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead, Carrie.
My question is, I have an elderly father. He's 88. He is in a power chair. He doesn't have well use of his hands. So it's hard to find opportunities for places to go. And is there anything out there? Plus, we don't have transportation in Independence.
Hmm. Jay, why don't you take that?
Well, we do have some access for, like, OATS for bringing people in and allowing them to come in for that kind of a service. We'd be glad to work with them if they want to call our office, and we can see if we can arrange some, tell them about the programs we have, see what interest they would have, and see if we can help them arrange some transportation to make that work for them. I think it's going to have to be on an individual basis, but we'd be more than willing to try.
Does that help, Carrie?
It helps a little, yeah. I wish there was more opportunity out there.
Well, I'm just thinking.
There really isn't.
Jay, I'm just thinking about Carrie's call. And Carrie, hang on the line just for a moment. But this notion, I imagine for so many seniors, taking that first step is the really scary step, as it would be for almost anybody in any social situation. Am I right about that?
Oh, you're right. And that's why we have 4 quarterly meetings during the year where people can come in, meet our members, meet our faculty, get to know each other. We try to make special attention to new members or people who are just visiting to us, so they begin to feel a social connection to us as they move into this new environment. And it takes a while to get adjusted because we're all kind of used to each other, and when somebody new comes in, we have to make an extra special effort to kind of get to know them better and to make them feel welcome.
Beth, this notion of taking the first step, talk to me about that a little bit. Again, am I right? It's the big, maybe the scary step, but one that folks just got to get over?
Yes, and also I think there's been somewhat of a mismatch between what senior centers offer and what people sometimes want. And also senior centers, which really is a big source of programming for older adults, are dealing with a lot of folks who have cognitive loss and dementia.
Mm-hmm.
So they focus on providing good programming for those people. Then you have somebody like my 96-year-old mother-in-law who's living with me, who would want something more like what Sparks offers, a really intellectually rich offering. And it's you just have to keep in mind how individual we all are. And mm-hmm. it's very hard to we need a lot more. We need a lot more choice for
people. So one size does not fit all.
Exactly. That's a really important lesson.
And Jay, how do you deal with that notion that one size doesn't fit everybody?
We would agree with that, too. And what we try to do is, as members, we meet members. We say, what are your interests? How can we help you meet your particular needs? And I identify with what you said about your mother-in-law, because my mother-in-law did the same thing, and she lived with us for a while. But we have to kind of find new ways to search out the options that are there. One of the goals of Sparks is to let more people know about what's available for them that we can help them with, and we appreciate being here today.
Let me go back to some phone calls here. Jeanette from Independence. Jeanette, you're on Up Today. Good morning.
Good morning. My dad is 84 and does not drive anymore, and I recently found out some transportation. You have to live in Independence, and you have to be over 60. It's $2 a trip, and it's called the Indy Bus, INDE, for, like, Independence. And you can look that up. I don't know the number right offhand, but I've recently got my dad started on that. That helps me a lot.
That's a good suggestion. I'm glad to have it. Thank you so much, Janet.
Thank you.
Let's go to Barbara from the Volker neighborhood. Barbara, you're on up today. Good morning.
Hi. I just wanted to share about another service that provides transportation for people with disabilities. It's called Share a Fare, and it is a taxi service that comes right to your door. So
wow.
That is another service that might be available for persons with who are elderly.
How does Share a Fare work, Barbara?
A Share a Fare is part of KCATA transportation, and so it's just a taxi service that's also under the KCATA umbrella. So, yeah, it's a good service. I had worked at adult day care community, and a lot of the clients that I saw took Share a Fare.
Okay. I'm glad you mentioned it, Barbara. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Mary from Belton. Mary, you're on Up to Date. Nice to have you.
Hi. I thought it would be helpful for people to know our state representative, Chris Mullendorp, we're in District 56, puts out a new booklet every year, Information for Seniors, and it tells about OATS. And OATS serves 87 Missouri counties, and it tells about Meals on Wheels, anything you want to know if you're a senior. So I'd suggest contact your representative.
That's a good suggestion, too. And it makes sense, Beth, that seniors having trouble finding out what the range of services are, where's a common resource area where they can go to get all this
right.
information?
Well, every local community has a local area agency on aging that should have a lot of those, a lot of that information and referral. But I also want to just put a plea in for a lot more new programming, you know, way beyond what we're talking about. I think my generation is really going to want to live in communities where they can walk to restaurants and libraries and movies and get-togethers. And I think we have to, I mean, Meals on Wheels is great. I don't, you know, don't get me wrong. But I think we have to be much broader in our thinking of what old people need and are interested in.
Well, Meals on Wheels brings you a meal in your home, so you're
right.
still by yourself. That's the concern I think you're expressing there, right?
Yes, and I'm also expressing a concern that we not view old people as these passive recipients of help, but as active architects of our lives as we age.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a fundamental mind shift that I think we need to think about.
And the baby boomers, I think, are probably well-positioned to begin to push for a new mindset here.
I think so. I do think it's a hallmark of my generation that we're not afraid of change.
Yeah. Jay, again, this notion that Beth just suggested, this notion that people might want to be in a common area, maybe a downtown area, to take advantage of services. You know, when I think of downtown Kansas City, I still think of younger people moving into the lofts down there. Are you seeing any sort of congregation of older folks in one part of our city, or are people just scattered everywhere?
I would say they're primarily scattered everywhere. They tend to be in south and southeast Kansas City, because that seems to be a catchment area for us, because we're associated with UMKC and kind of connected to that. But we would accept anybody from any place. We live up north, and we come down at least two or three times a week. But that's the exception to the rule. But for sure, in this area, I think we do catch a lot of people.
Let me go to Sue here. You know, the AARP has taught us that the clout that retirees can have as it has become a lobby to be reckoned with over the years. Do you see the influence of elders growing when it comes to things like housing and continuing education and city planning, at least where you are, Sue?
We're starting to see that the more that baby boomers are aging, we're noticing a growth spurt in that area specifically here.
Are you sensing a change, Beth, as you look at the political clout of seniors across the country?
I think so, and I think it's important that we baby boomers bust through our denial about getting older in order to really exercise that kind of clout, and we'll be so much better off if we're proactive instead of being in denial.
Well, just for the record, I'm still throwing my AARP letters away. I haven't opened them up yet. I guess that's a pretty common thing, right?
It is until you're after 50. Then you begin to enjoy them.
Then you enjoy them. Okay, sounds good. Well, I want to thank you all for taking some time today. Beth Baker is author of With a Little Help from Our Friends, Creating Community as We Grow Older. She's in town for this week's Pioneer Networks 2014 conference. Beth, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Jay Upright is with the Spark Education Program at UMKC. Jay, thank you. And Sue Montenegro is the Assistant City Manager and Community Development Director for the City of Owosso, Michigan. Sue, thank you very much, too.
Thank you. It was an honor being here.
Don't forget to follow KCUR on Facebook and this program on Twitter. We're at KCUR. Up to date, you can follow me at Steve Kraske. Today's show was produced with help from Steven Steigman, Denny Alexander, Beth Lipoff, Hannah Copeland, and Scott Ross. I'm Steve Kraske, and you are up to date. We'll